Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio Herd and the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken Radio, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Building the Bakken is not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry. Building the Bakken is about the people, the community, and the industry, those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field and the oil and gas industry. On today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio, we talk with William Prentice, CEO of Meridian Energy Group, spearheading the Davis Refinery. We're just a couple weeks away from the permit to construct out there in Belfield, North Dakota. I know the local community is getting excited about that project and the economic development and stability that it's going to bring to Western North Dakota. Also, on today's episode, we talk with Charles Olson, completion specialist for Whiting Petroleum. We're doing kind of a new feature here. We're calling it 2017, the year of the refrac. So much has happened in the year of the refrac that we're bringing on all kinds of experts to let you people know about refracking, what's going on, the process, the technology, and how it's looking from the business side as well. According to Olson, he talks about an uptick in the Bakken for refracs. Stay tuned. A little bit later on in the program, Charles Olson, Whiting Petroleum, talks about refracs. Then, what a story happening in Western North Dakota in Watford City, McKenzie County, Steve Holen. Many of you know about the unprecedented growth happening in Western North Dakota, but take it from the school superintendent point of view. You are now bumped up from Class B to Class A in athletics, and the ripple that is going to send through your taxes, to your travel, to your local community. You are now in the big leagues in terms of sports, but what that does is it elevates your school and it sends a ripple through. So we're going to talk with Steve Holen about the growth in Watford City due to the oil industry. And Mary Jo Ehrman, author, speaker, previews an upcoming conference that she will be attending and speaking in Bismarck, North Dakota. She talks about the finance and banks when it comes to commodities, talks energy and ag. Folks, you're not going to want to miss that. All that and much, much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. I want to thank you folks for joining us this week. We got a fantastic program. My name is Jason Spies. This is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Well, I was 2 years old when John Lennon died. Well, I was 23 when George said goodbye.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, William Prentice, the CEO of Meridian Energy Group, about the Davis Refinery coming to Belfield, North Dakota. What's going on? Let's start from the permit to the construction process, kind of a state of the union, if you will.
Oh, sure. Well, the most important thing on our plate right now, in terms of the schedule for getting the project in operation, is the permit to construct from the North Dakota Department of Health Air Quality Division. You know, we've been in the process of working through that permit since October of 2016, and you know, we've worked very closely with the Department of Health. I mean, they've done a lot for us. You know, we've dealt in great detail in what parts of a refinery are problematic. We actually changed the process significantly back in March and submitted a major amendment to our permit application in April as a result. And that change emerged out of the discussions and the analysis that we were doing in kind of the daily back and forth with the health department. that process has continued. You know, we think that we're pretty close to the end of their analysis of the project, and we would expect, you know, pretty quickly here in the next several weeks to see a draft permit come out. You know, we don't have any control over that. The Department of Health has their responsibility to the state and to the people of North Dakota. So they're going to do things the way they need to do it. And we just stand by and make sure they're not sitting there waiting for us to do anything on any given day. Once that permit is issued as a draft for public comment, we're going to have to go through the public comment period. I think that's a 30-day process. During the course of that 30 days, there'll be a public hearing. You know, to the extent that we're requested by the health department to participate, we will help respond to any of those comments. And then it's our understanding that some period of time after that comment period is when the final permit would be granted. You know, it's going to be about the end of the year at the soonest. It puts us obviously in the middle of winter, so we're not going to be running out and starting earthwork immediately. However, we're taking steps to protect the schedule by starting out here in the next week or two with the fabrication of some of the major equipment, including the crew tower and so forth. So that'll be in process as the permit works its way through. We prefer to not do any work at the site until the permit is finalized. And so that puts us, you know, probably as early in the spring as we can get in terms of doing grading to start actual construction of the project this coming year. But as I said earlier, you know, the equipment is going to be well along by that time, so it's just a matter of getting foundations done. And we'll start setting equipment, and, you know, we're still hopeful that we can be in operation towards the end of 2018, early 2019.
To listen to the full-length interview with William Prentice, the CEO of Meridian Energy Group, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
And I was born on the first day of my life. And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And please follow our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. Listen to us on iTunes as well. Search The Crude Life. New and free downloads every single week on iTunes. Search for The Crude Life on iTunes.
And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, we talk with Charles Olson, completion specialist with Whiting Petroleum.
My name is Charles Olson. I'm with Whiting Petroleum, and I'm the completions manager for the Northern Rockies asset, which covers the Williston Basin.
And we're here today talking about reef racks, kind of stemming off of the Western Dakota Energy Association annual meeting, and honestly, the Petroleum Council's annual meeting, and a lot of annual meetings in the Bakken are talking about the reef rack procedure. In fact, I'd almost want to call 2017 the year of the reef rack, it seems, because it seems to have been the driving force behind the Bakken. Talk to me about your guys' role at the reef racks and your presentation, if you would, please, at the annual meetings.
Sure. So first and foremost, we did participate in the 2016 North Dakota Petroleum Conference annual meeting in Minot, and we gave our initial talk on reef racks up there, and then most recently we gave a presentation for the Western Dakota Energy Association here just last week. And that was also on refracts. It was a little more abbreviated, as we were participating with a couple other folks, Marathon and a representative from the EERC on refracts and enhanced oil recovery in general.
And how would you call that panel? Because, you know, a few years ago, we weren't hearing much about the reef racks. And then you're right, around last year, the annual meeting, we kind of heard a little bit about it. And then this year, as much as a panel, where you've got the ERC, Marathon, yourself, and Justin Kringsted moderating the panel. So just kind of, what was your impression, whether from Whiting's perspective or looking at the overall industry over the past year, just kind of the trend when it comes to reef racks?
Sure. There's been an uptick in the interest in reef racks in the Williston Basin, other basins as well, but the Williston Basin in particular, there have been several companies, Whiting, although we've not done a bunch of them yet, we've taken a fairly measured approach on our candidate selection, and we're cautiously dipping our toe into the water. We think there's a bright future with reef racks, but we understand that we need to proceed cautiously as we go back to these others. Marathon in particular has had some, several very successful reef racks and reworkings of older wells. And the primary driver behind this has been in the last 11 years or so, just the technology revolution when it comes to drilling and completing horizontal wells, not only in the Bakken, but other areas. And, we recognize that those early efforts lacked, and they lacked because those technologies simply weren't available at the time. So although those wells, if left alone, might recover less, we see them as an opportunity now to apply reef racks and get more out of those wells, with what we know now.
For me, one of the exciting things of this story of the reef racks is you're starting to see how a few years ago, in fact, the second story that we did back in 2012 was that the Bakken isn't an oil boom, it's a technology boom. And there was several reasons for that: the integration of big data, the fracking, just the fracking technology itself. But a lot of it stemmed on the fact that a lot of the experts were talking about how currently the Bakken back then was at about 7% of known technology in order to frack these wells. And then, now I'm hearing we're anywhere around 8 to 10%. So to me, what I'm seeing is that refrack technology happen to where they're discovering a little bit more, whether it's through the ERC or whether it's through the private sector, through Whiting, or you mentioned Marathon was having some good results when it comes to the reef rack. Is that what we're seeing here, is that as they understand more and more of the shale play and the technology, depending on whether it's location, because I understand everyone is different, but as the technology advances, you're going to see more of these reef racks happen because that's kind of the longevity of the play. Am I kind of reading these tea leaves right?
You know, those are interesting comments, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Certainly, the percentages you threw out kind of ring a bell in terms of accuracy. I won't comment on them so much as I will just the general philosophy is, you know, again, we're through fracking technology, we're seeing better and better results on newly completed wells, and we've recognized that we can go back to these older wells, apply a lot of that same those same learnings to refracs, and certainly increase you know, the reserves that we draw out of these older wells. And the real interesting thing about the refracs is it's a very general term. What we're finding now is there are many ways to rework these wells that sort of fall into that general category, and it's starting to feel like you know, all these subcategories are catching a lot of interest and yielding more and more opportunity, you know, under the general umbrella of refrac.
So when we're talking about refrac, do you have an easy way or a very layman's way to describe the difference between a regular frac and a refrac? Because my understanding is that a lot of the same materials are used, aren't they?
That's correct. So a frac is short for hydraulic fracture stimulation treatment, and the technology itself is not new. It's 70 years old, but the goal, and I think I mentioned this the other day, is basically to create a highly conductive path between the formation and the wellbore, and that allows us to accelerate and enhance the recovery. And how we do it, I'll boil it down. We pump water, sand, and a cocktail of very safe chemicals at a high rate, and we do that in the excess of the ability for fluid to leak off into the formation. So we pump it faster than it can leak off, and what happens is that allows us to split the rock open, and then we wedge it open with all that sand that we're pumping. Now, that's a frac. A refrac is very much the same way. We're pumping into a well that's already been fracked. It might have hundreds of fracs that we've already put on it, or it might only have tens of fracs. But really, we're coming back to these old wells that already have fracs in them. They have sand in them. Some of our refrac's going to go there, and it's going to serve the purpose of dressing up those old fracs. They might be sort of degraded or plug off, and the refrac itself, the secondary portion of it that we pump, or even the bulk of it, we hope to divert into new portions of the formation along that lateral, and split open and frac new rock, new formation, and get new entry points into the reservoir that may be lightly depleted or not depleted at all.
To listen to the full-length interview with Charles Olson, completion specialist with Whiting Petroleum, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thecrudelife. Of course, all of our social media links are available at our website, thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies. This is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
So quiet I can hear it all. And I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm choking with the people that I know.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today.
Hope my car starts when I go.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. Meridian Energy Group, Inc.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio Herd and the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, we talk with Steve Holen, McKenzie County in Watford City, Superintendent of Schools.
Superintendent of Schools for McKenzie County School District Number 1.
Perfect. And let's start off with a little bit of history here. How long have you, A, been in Watford City, and B, been at your current position?
Well, I've been in Watford City since 2005, which is when I took this current position as Superintendent of Schools. So I'm in my 13th year, I believe, somewhere in that ballpark.
And the reason I asked that, of course, I knew the answer, but because you were there pre-boom, and then you kind of got into the boom, and then we'll get into the outhouses in a minute or two. But I just wanted to maybe ask you, now that you've had a second to breathe, looking back at the last 13 years, how would you describe that to somebody at a cocktail party this holiday season?
I guess to some degree a story of extremes. Perhaps, you know, in 2005, when I was hired, it was very much a declining enrollment situation, and long-term planning involved consolidating two buildings into one, hanging on to staff, working through retirements to reduce reductions in force, and looking at bleak numbers of preschool students, you know, going into possibly single digits. So those census numbers were pretty bleak. So it was very much coming into a the situation of community hanging on and finding a way to survive, I guess. And then, you know, in 4 or 5 years after that, then dealing with the extreme opposite, which was, you know, rapid growth and the student increases were starting to come in very strong. So it was really seeing both sides of a story, which is interesting. I mean, they have a lot of similarities in the challenges within. Because they were pretty drastic. I mean, when it was starting to decline, it was going fast. And obviously when it started going the other way, it went fast as well. So, and then there's a small period of there of kind of stabilization as the slowdown hit. And now we're getting back into a growth mode. So not many things happen out here that are kind of halfway. It seems like it's a little bit extreme one way or the other in what we deal with things.
One of the things I always kind of tried to relate to the Bakken with myself so I could help understand it was, sometimes in life, I overcorrect myself. For example, you know, I haven't gone to the gym for a few years, and all of a sudden, now I'm going 2-3 times a day, just overcorrecting, and well, that's a little bit too hard on my body. So eventually, maybe I'm down to, you know, 5 days a week type of a thing. And that's what a lot of people thought happened out in the Bakken, was they kind of went into this right-sizing mode, this downturn, this a number of different things where a lot of the cities came out and said, hey, this gives us a chance to breathe. Well, then you take a look at Watford City, and they've never really had a chance to breathe. And the reason for this interview is because, obviously, when Class A football was going on and that sort of thing, I'm hearing Watford City's name in whatever Division I is in North Dakota now. My goodness, how is it that your school district is already Division I or the top level in sports? To me, that says enrollment numbers. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big change for us. And that's forthcoming in next year. We're eligible for Class A in all sports, basketball, volleyball, and so forth. You know, in football, we're double A. We've been in that for a little while, but it's good. It's a major change for us. I think it's a major change for the community to that mindset. You know, Watford City for decades has been a Class B school district, you know, a strong, good-sized Class B school district, and to make that transition, I think it's a little bit apprehensive of a lot of people, but, you know, we're kind of excited about it. But it does tell the story. I mean, you know, looking at 512 students in 2008, and looking at now about 1,540 students K through 12, and you know, looking at class size in the kindergarten of 150, and you know, when I came on in 2005, you know, at the elementary school we might have had about 220-230 kids in K through 6, and now you have a grade level of 150 with 7 sections. It's sometimes you have to take a step back and look at that and kind of, you know, appreciate some of the things that we went through, because you get caught in the moment, you just kind of do what you need to do. But very dramatic changes, and to go to Class A next year is, you know, we're trying to develop a mindset for it and get the community excited about it, because I think we are viewing it as a big challenge. But yeah, we're going to have you know, schedules of games now with Minot and Bismarck are coming to Watford City, and not, you know, Killdeere and Tioga. So.
Well, to me, you know, this is one of the things that interests me, the Bakken, is that this is going to be printed in history books for generations after I'm long gone, and people will be studying the Bakken and the evolution and just how this whole thing completely reshaped not only Western North Dakota, but even the eastern side as well. And when we're looking at Watford City, it's going to have its own chapter. I mean, when you're talking about, yeah, it's the core and all this other stuff, but just the sheer increase of population and the outhouses to when you guys were building the new school last year, I got to revisit that a little bit, because that to me should have its own subchapter in the history books to talk about. That was the transition of the gritty North Dakota way to this beautiful new infrastructure. To me, that was a real symbolism of how North Dakota is going to shift the mindset of quality of life. Yeah, we can use it. We can use an outhouse whenever we want, and we will use it when we have to, but look at what we can do when we sacrifice and pay things off. Am I talking rubbish here, or do you kind of follow me?
No, I mean, I think it's a good point, and it was definitely a process. You know, when things started, and it was kind of getting a sense of, many were apprehensive that, you know, with any kind of a, quote, boom, there's a bust, and everybody was really apprehensive of how careful are we now when things are going well with the energy industry, and do you build, and as you mentioned, did you overcorrect and overbuild, or do you not react quick enough? You know, all those discussions come into play when this starts to happen. Some people want you to move quickly and address things, but we did. We went with temporaries. We went with options that we were trying to be somewhat conservative. And then the second time point is to try to plan ahead effectively. We didn't want to make choices that were reactionary. We tried to be looking forward that, you know, what if we hit this growth, make sure we don't undo anything, because when you get to major construction projects, it's not like you can, oops, you know, we shouldn't have done that. Now let's go build this. You're kind of stuck with what you have. So it was a little bit of patience to take a step back and say, let's plan out a long-term facility plan. Let's make sure we make choices that are good choices. So there was a little bit of that transition where we had the temporaries. We had, you know, 14 trailer houses on our elementary school property housing teachers. There were things that just aren't typically seen, but they were temporary. We kept the kind of a positive attitude, tried to move forward, and then, you know, worked toward getting this, you know, infrastructure in place. So now we have a new high school, and we have some of those things that came out of that. So, but you're right, it was a really unique process. I think Watford was a little bit unique in that as well. And it's really a transition of a community going from kind of that small town feel or otherwise into getting into more of a larger community mindset, you know, where your peers are now more of your Williston's and Sydney's and Dickinson's and just kind of a different thought process that goes into that. But it was a real interesting journey.
To listen to the full-length interview with Steve Holen, superintendent of McKenzie County Schools, also Watford City, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Mary Jo Ehrman, author and business owner of Financial Bridge LLC.
You know, so if you don't have the collateral to put up for it, they're not going to give it. Every bank is a little bit different. What I've seen is that the banks really loved the farming industry when corn was $7 a bushel. They would lend money to anybody. Now that corn is $3 to $4 a bushel, they're not lending money to anybody. So, and a lot of those banks that were lending money to farmers quit lending money to farmers. I have a lot of clients that couldn't get loans because it's not that they had bad credit. It's not that they didn't have collateral. It's that the bank said, I'm not playing this farming game anymore. You're going to have to go elsewhere. And that really puts a farmer in a hard position too. So it's not all about just, hey, my credit score is bad. It's what is the bank doing? does the bank president and the bank board understand the farming industry? In most cases, they may not. They're not the ones out there farming, so they don't want to take that risk. They'll go to a different industry that's maybe doing better, where they have much less risk of having to have collateral sitting on the books that's not going to do anything.
Mary Jo Ehrman on the line with us, author of Farming Without the Bank and Wealth Without the Bank or Wall Street. She's also sponsoring an event coming up, the Secure Wealth Builders Conference, happening in Bismarck, North Dakota. Talk to me about this conference a little bit, as far as your involvement and what topics are going to be covered.
Well, it is a two-day event that I'm sponsoring because nobody's doing finance conferences to teach people that there's a different way and there's a more secure way to make money, just like the banks are making money, just like the wealthy are making money. So we are going to cover, obviously, how to think and protect your wealth, like the banks and the wealthy, and which is talked about in my book. And then we're going to cover some estate planning and to estate plan correctly so that you're not losing money to the courts through probate and taxes. We're going to talk about why long-term care is important, because we have a huge issue with people not having the long-term care, causing families to break up. And then we're going to have Barry Dyke, the author of the New York Times bestseller, Pirates of Manhattan, and he's going to be talking about Wall Street and the banks and what they're doing with money and what the economic outlook is.
You've mentioned quite a bit about farming. That, of course, is your background, the ag industry. But to me, it sounds like some other people could probably benefit from this information. Who do you expect to attend this?
You know, obviously, I work with farmers, but I work with everybody. I mean, I have two books for a reason. One, because non-farmers are saying, hey, can you write a book that doesn't have farm analogies in it? And so anybody is welcome to come to the conference. The people that are going to probably really want to be there are those people that they don't want the risk of the market. They want to use their money today without penalty. They want to create a retirement that they know is going to be there. And retirement meaning either you're going to retire off the farm or you're going to retire from a job. Our farmers aren't preparing for retirement any more than the employees are preparing for retirement. So just preparing and knowing that money is going to be there and safe is important. So if those are things that matter to you, if you want to learn the truth about what's going on economically and you want to hear what Barry has to say, then you're going to probably want to be there.
And this is the Secure Wealth Builders Conference. When is that, again, and where do you have that information, maybe where it's located, time, that sort of thing? I left the note in the other room, and I apologize.
That's okay. It is November 17th and 18th here in Bismarck, and it's at the Ramada. So if you want tickets, you can go to maryjoehrman.com or farmingwithoutthebank.com, and you can get them at either one of my websites.
Okay, great. And I usually like to give guests the final word if there's something we missed, something they want to reiterate, or just to summarize everything again, just kind of the floor is yours. So just kind of final thoughts.
You know, my final thought is what we're doing is not working. We're the 401ks, people are working. You go to Walmart, Menards, and our local grocery store, and that's where you see all these elderly people. Are they working because they have to, or are they working because they want to? If you want some guarantees to retire, if you want to be like the Rockefellers and you want to have money, look at where the banks are putting their money. Look at where the wealthy are putting their money, and it's not what we're being told. We're being told to do what the poor people are doing.
To listen to the full-length interview with Mary Jo Ehrman, author and business owner of Fiscal Bridge LLC, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Help me out. We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that girl. We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that.
The The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. Building the Bakken would also like to thank its sponsors, MBI Energy Services, Cutting Edge and Oil Field Safety Solutions. For more information on MBI Energy Services or to check out their latest job offerings, visit mbienergyservices.com. That's mbienergyservices.com. Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty's in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Eric Hatch team may not sell real estate in your community, but they can be a resource and a connection for you. Give them a call today at 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Lodge at Deadwood. The next time you're planning a conference, wedding, or weekend getaway, consider the Lodge at Deadwood. For more information, visit deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com. That's the Lodge at Deadwood, located in the beautiful Black Hills. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
When you get Eric Hatch involved in something, you get 100% of him. You get him, you get his team, you get his family, now you get his kids. This is a guy that puts his heart into his work. What I really appreciate about Eric is his vulnerability. And there's times he hits home runs and there's times where maybe it doesn't go the way everybody hoped. But I've always respected how much he loves his work. I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings where he gave a talk and I saw him come into his own where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. It's been said that if you want to create competition, tell everyone your success. And if you want to create compassion, share your weaknesses. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished. And it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.